Let us all turn together to the portion we have been reading, Genesis chapter 32. Before our harvest Thanksgiving services, I preached on the background to the prayer contained in chapter 32, verses 9 through to 12. Therefore, in some sense, we have already given the introduction, although a little while has passed since then. Verse 9, Genesis chapter 32. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies, and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him. Lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Just hold this place in the Bible. Let's ask for the help of the Lord briefly in prayer. But let's ask. Let's ask the Lord. O Lord, we do thank thee for this day, for the health and strength we have to be here. Bless those among our friends in the fellowship, and even the friends in the family who are unwell, who cannot be with us. Lord, encourage them. If it please thee, grant to them the mighty touch of thy hand. Thou art the great physician still. Lord, bless them. Comfort us now with thy presence and power. Lord, speak to us. Make the word of God really precious. Let us learn from thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And we can learn from the scriptures. We can learn from the life of Jacob. We can learn from the prayers of the Bible. There is nothing in the scriptures by accident. This prayer, for example, the prayer which runs through all of four verses offered by Jacob at a particular time of crisis, is not here just by chance. The prayer is not recorded because it is part of the life of Jacob. There is a reason for the life of Jacob being in the Bible at all. There is a reason for every incident in the scriptures, every prayer that is included in the pages of Holy Writ. For these things have been given by God for our admonition. Thus, the prayer of Jacob, as it finds its way into the scripture record, is not here by chance. It's not here, as I emphasize, because it is part of the life of Jacob. It is not here just because it was the expression of Jacob's heart and soul at a particular time of crisis in his life. It is here because God intended it to be here in the Bible. God wrote these words into the scriptures. Thus we may learn from the life of Jacob. We may learn from the prayers of the people of God. We may certainly learn from this prayer recorded for us in verse 9 and onwards. In crying out to God, Jacob puts himself into the family of God. When he prays in a family atmosphere. In verse 9, the opening address is, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me. Jacob in his prayer is conscious of being in a godly family. He is numbered among God's people.
You can certainly pray with confidence. You can certainly pray with assurance. Pray with conviction when you have the certainty of knowing that you're in God's family. Mind you, the unconverted can pray. We have never suggested at any one time that an unconverted person need not pray. There are some who might suggest, oh, God will not hear the prayers of the unconverted. But God has heard the prayers of unconverted people. That we may affirm without any hesitation. God has heard the prayers of unconverted people. The difference is this. The Christian has more certainty, more assurance in coming to God that the Lord will hear his voice, for he belongs to the Lord's family. Remember when you pray that you're a child of the King. You're in the family of faith. You belong to the God of the covenant. You can pray as Jacob does. O God of my father, even if you were not born into a Christian home and had the privilege of a Christian upbringing, you can still say, Lord, you have put me into the family. Abraham is my father. He's the friend of God and the father of all the faithful. So even if you were brought up in an unconverted family, you can still say, Lord, by saving me, you have brought me into the family of faith. I'm in the family of the Lord now. And one of the blessings of being in the family of the Lord is that you can pray. Moreover, Jacob, as he begins this prayer, includes himself. He says, Lord, thou art the God of my father Abraham. Thou art the God of my father Isaac. But thou art also the Lord which saidst unto me. Thou art the Lord who did say unto me. And Jacob has knowledge of his own experience with God. He can relate in his prayer to the Lord. He can say, Lord, you have spoken to me. He recognizes that God, who is the God of Abraham, that God, who is the God of Isaac, is also his God. It would be sad if some of you could only pray, O God of my father. It would be sad if some of you could only pray, Lord, you have put me into a Christian home, and you have given me Christian influences, and you caused me to be brought up in the right kind of way, if you never knew the Lord yourself. What a tragedy if it had to be recognized now that members of your family are born of God, but you are not. That members of your family are on the way to heaven, but you are not. That members of your family are already in heaven, but you are not. O God of my father Abraham, thou art the God who didst also speak to me. That must be a blessing in prayer. That the Lord has given you a word from himself. That the Lord has spoken to you. I have sometimes said on a Monday night, encouraging God's people who assemble there for prayer, seek a time alone with God before you come. It is important to make every effort to prepare your own heart for the prayer meeting. Prepare your heart for an interview with the King of Kings. Don't just come straight from the garden, straight from the newspaper, straight from the television, straight from the radio, or from whatever else occupies your attention. Try, if you can, to get a time alone with God on your knees. Get a word from God. Get a word from God to your own soul before you come. And then when you pray, you're able to approach God just as Jacob did. And Jacob, let's be careful to say it. Jacob, as he prays, is saying, Lord, You are the one who has spoken unto me. And on the strength of that experience of having received a word from God, a word from the Lord to himself, Jacob is praying. Let the Christian learn from this. The Christian sometimes imagines, because he's born of God, because he has the Holy Spirit dwelling in his heart, that he has therefore the key to prayer. In a certain sense he has. But he imagines that he can come to God, the Holy Spirit will help him pray without any time with the Scriptures, without any time before God. That's a mistake. The time in prayer should be preceded by a little season of meditation on the Word of God. Bathe your soul in the Scriptures. Think about what God has been saying before you come to the throne of grace. Isn't it clear from this prayer that Jacob, as he prayed, remembered the Word of God to his own soul? If you like, mark those words in your verse. Verse 9, "The Lord which saidst unto me." Jacob remembered the Word of God as he came to pray. So much so that he was able to go over that word again when he came before the Lord. Maybe you did read the Bible before you went to the prayer meeting. Maybe you did read the Bible before you knelt there in the privacy of your own room to pray. Maybe you did read the Scriptures. But oh, that word somehow did not search through your soul. That word did not stir you to the deepest depths of your being. And as soon as you closed the book, started to pray, you had forgotten all about what you had read. You were not so aware of the word God had given you that you could actually go over it in prayer before the Lord. Listen, child of God, I said this morning, we can learn from the prayers of the Bible. So we can. We can certainly learn from this prayer of Jacob. Jacob remembers the Word of God so much that he is able to go over that Word again. He's able to go over the Word, the very Word that God had given him. He goes over that Word as he prays. That's the secret of prayer. That's the secret of prayer. Pray over the Word of God. Pray the Word of God itself into your soul. You're not praying amiss if you even keep your Bible open and pray over each line of the portion that is in front of you, and pray that Scripture into your own soul. Pray it into your heart line by line. Open your eyes and look at the Word. Pray over that Word. Pronounce the very words of Scripture as you pray. And ask the Lord to write that truth into your own soul. Go over the actual words of the Scriptures in prayer. Use the Bible as a prayer book. One time, as a man labored in the pastorate, at least some of the people felt the edge had gone off his preaching. You can never keep all the people happy all the time. A preacher probably has the most difficult task of any. There's nothing more daunting than to have to stand up Sabbath after Sabbath before the same people, the same congregation, ministering. People get to know the sound of your voice and your method of delivery and so on. The preacher has to battle for attention. And one person, at least in this particular congregation, thought that he should mention to the preacher that his preaching wasn't so good recently. That was a hard message to hear. Wouldn't have been so hard to deliver, but it would be a lot harder to hear. So the man said, I just feel that you've lost the edge in preaching. Oh, the man said, have you noticed that? I didn't think you had. Have you noticed that? You see, there's an explanation. I've lost the prayer book. And if there had been consternation before, there was even more consternation now. For the man said, I didn't know you had a prayer book. Oh, I said, I have. You see, my prayer book is going to consist of all the prayers of all the saints. And of late, there has been a deterioration of interest in prayer in my congregation. I have noticed it. And one by one, these prayers have been coming out of the book, until instead of having a very thick book, now I have hardly any book at all. I've lost my prayer book. And if I can get the prayer book back, you'll discover to your joy that the age will return to the preaching. And the member of the congregation went away with a good message to think about. How true. This preacher needs a prayer book. He says it without apology. He needs a prayer book. He needs you to come tonight and put your prayer as a leaf into that book. Let this book be filled with pages. Let us have a big prayer book in this congregation. Oh, but in the best sense, the child of God can lift his Bible saying, this is my prayer book and I'm going to use it in that fashion. Let me pray over every page as I read it. Pray over every line of Scripture and pray that word into my soul. And from there, pray that word up to the mercy seat. You see, Jacob memorized the Word of God. We have a lot of young people here in the service. I'm glad to note that. Young person, memorize the Bible. Memorize the Scriptures. Never take the attitude, oh, it's so difficult to memorize a verse. And if it was more easy, then I could do it. But remember the Word of God. Commit the Scriptures to memory. Start in an easy fashion. At least try to remember one line of a verse. Get the one line off perfectly. Then add another line. Add another line. Those who are older need to memorize the Scriptures. I started with the young, but I am by no means going to finish with the young. Those of you who are older need to memorize the Scriptures. Before I studied for the ministry, it was the regular thing, and I think it is in most places of business, to have the tea break and the lunch break. It wouldn't work very well without feeding the physical man. I took occasion in the moments that I had to spare with the little Bible that I had in my pocket to mark a new verse every day. If I couldn't learn the whole verse that day, then it carried over to the next day. But certainly I had the intention, I had the purpose, and indeed the practice of memorizing book, chapter, and verse, some portion of the Word of God every day. Much of what I have known then in the preaching of the Word of God stem from that experience. Much of what God has given to me in prayer has come from that experience. It's necessary. It is necessary for the child of God to be memorizing the Scriptures. We take this for granted, but it is something that we should take most seriously. And I'm speaking there to every household. I'm speaking now to every individual. Are you memorizing parts of the Word of God? Did you get a verse committed to heart this week? Did you memorize some portion yesterday or today? Are we slipping up on this matter? I feel that some of us are. It's important that you memorize the Word of God. Don't you see in this prayer that Jacob had committed to memory what God had said? What God had said to him, he remembered. Now that has to be in the Bible for a good reason. And God seems to be saying in this portion of Old Testament history, look, this is the right way forward for the people of God. Memorize what God has given to you. Memorize what God has been saying to your soul in the Scriptures. Some of you have to fight a battle with loneliness. There are long hours that you spend with no other sound but the ticking of the clock. That could be very hard on your soul. Maybe monotonous. Maybe grievesome. It may bring you into the slough of despondency. But I tell you, occupy your time. Use every moment profitably. At least set yourself the task of memorizing more of God's precious word. The Christian should not spend endless hours with the television. In the home of a believer, the television, I feel for one, should not be on from the earliest hour of the morning to the last hour at night. There should be, if you're watching at all, a strict limitation. And before the day actually starts, you should know how to limit your time, that you may use the rest of your time profitably. Are you memorizing the Word of God? You could be memorizing all sorts of names, and we've got to be frank enough to say there are Christians who know all sorts of things about television, the people who appear on it and the programs that are there. Ask them about the Bible. Ask them if they have memorized anything about the Word of God in the past week, and they will have to look blankly. What I'm saying is, you can memorize things that belong to the world, all right. And some of us are memorizing things that belong to the world. Maybe effortlessly. Maybe without knowing it. We're memorizing things that belong to the world. But we're not memorizing the Scriptures. We're not memorizing the Scriptures. There are some who have said, but I couldn't remember the Word of God. My memory's so poor. Well, we all have to start, you see. Memory is just like a muscle, and if you start to do exercises, it's very painful, especially at the beginning if you're not used to it, but just go a little at a time. Get one line of the verse memorized today. Be content with that. Don't try to memorize the whole chapter the one time. If you can do the whole chapter at the one time, by all means do so, but start somewhere. If it's one line of a verse, you've got on much better than you did yesterday. You've got a line of a verse now. Start somewhere. We have known some to say, but I have had such a bad memory. I couldn't remember the Scriptures. I couldn't remember them 5 minutes after I worked at it. Some people who have said this kind of thing may work in an office. And in reference to the various other offices that have some relationship with your firm, you know the telephone numbers. Maybe you know a list of telephone numbers off by heart. And you could repeat these 6 numerals at a time. You could repeat one telephone number after another. You can remember that. Well, God's saying you can certainly remember the Scriptures. Don't let the devil keep you away from memorizing the Word of God. What value is there in memorizing the Scriptures? Well, if you memorize the Word of God, listen this. One benefit you stand to gain by memorizing the Word of God is that the Word of God will keep cleansing your mind. The mind of the Christian can be contaminated by the world and worldly things. We're living in an unclean environment. We're living in an alien atmosphere. The world is no friend to grace. Remember that, child of God. And the Word of God will cleanse the mind. Now are ye clean through the Word that I have spoken unto you, Jesus Christ says. Remember the Word, because it will cleanse the mind. Oh, what a power there is in the Word of God. Remember the Word, because it's good for teaching. It's good for teaching. We like to use the Authorized Version. Here is a sound translation. We cannot say that for the modern versions.
You may be reading, for all you know, from a mutilated verse off the scriptures. But the authorized version is so beautifully styled. It is well nigh, it has well nigh reached a standard of perfection in itself. It's so beautifully styled, it's suited for memorization. And it's good for teaching. When you have the scripture memorized, you'll be taught by what you've learned. The scripture needs to be memorized because it's good for praying. When you pray, the Holy Spirit will be pleased to bring back to your remembrance the things you were reading in the Bible. There are good reasons, you see, for memorizing the scriptures. One, it will cleanse your mind from the corruptions that are in the world. Number two, by memorizing the Word of God, there will be good, sound, solid teaching. By memorizing the Word of God, you're going to be enabled to pray. You'll be helped in the place of prayer. Now look at the prayer of Jacob. Look at it intently. Jacob knew the Word of God. He knew what God had said to him, and thus he came to pray. What can be said of this prayer? First of all, Jacob prayed over the Word of God when he was filled with fear. Jacob was deeply distressed. Verse 7 says, "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed." You need to pray at any time. You need to pray when your heart is in the heavenlies. But listen, child of God, hear this. Hear this from the counsel of Holy Scripture. You need to pray when your heart is filled with dread, filled with fear, when your soul is in deepest distress. You need to pray at that time. And when Jacob was in the deepest distress, he came to God in prayer. And he found comfort. Not only in prayer, he found comfort in remembering what God had said to his soul. Praise the Lord for that. The Christian then may be in the deepest distress. The Bible in this place shows us that this is so. The Christian may walk a lonely path. He may walk down into the shadows. It is then that he needs to cry out to God. And in so doing, let him remember what God has said. You notice again this prayer. This time I'm looking at verse 9. When Jacob prayed over the Word of God gave him faith. "Thou didst say unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee." Or verse 12, "And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good." Praying over the Word of God, praying over what God had said, gave him faith. Gave him expectation of better things. He's able to say, "Lord, you're going to do me good." When you pray over the Word of God, praying over the Word committed to memory, you may find that your prayer will build on faith. Your prayer will rise on the wings of faith. You will be led to expect greater things from God because the Word of God will build up expectancy in your heart. But if you only pray from the top of your head, so to speak, if you only pray using your own inspiration, your prayer is not likely to build up faith in your soul. But when you pray over the Word of God, you'll discover to your joy that the Lord will do you good, and you'll have the expectation, moreover, of the Lord doing great things. How did Jacob get faith that God would reward his expectations? He got faith by praying over the Word of God, by praying over what God had said to him. You see, there's teaching here for the Christian. And look again, verse 8. Jacob prayed over the Word of God when he was about to meet the enemy. Esau's coming with 400 men, a servant told him. That filled him with fear. He was hoping that Esau would not come. Esau, who before had sworn to kill him, now he comes with 400 men. Jacob is filled with fear. You may be paralyzed with terror at the prospect of meeting an enemy. You can cry to God about it.
Don't go and meet the enemy on his own ground. Don't meet the enemy on any other ground but the ground of the printed word. Go to the book. Go to the word every time. Rest your soul on the written word of God. This is what Jacob is doing. Filled with fear, he finds comfort in the word of God that he prays over. The word of God gives him faith that the Lord will do him good. The enemy will not, but the Lord will do him good. He prays before he meets the enemy that the Lord may give the victory. He prays as one, notice further, attempting to obey the word. In verse 9 he says, Lord, thou didst say unto me, return unto thy country, and I will deal well with thee. He's saying, in fact, Lord, I have returned. I have come back. I've crossed the border line. I'm obeying the word. I'm doing what you tell me. You can't pray if your heart condemns you, if your conscience cries out against you, if there's unjudged sin in your life. You can't pray with the same confidence. Bring your life to the place where you can yield to the Lord in tender obedience. Remember, it is important to heed the word that you remember. Not only commit it to your heart, but put it into practice. Remember the word God has given you. Jacob in his prayer, verse 9, begins with the contemplation of the Lord. Verse 9 is taken up with the Lord. Now, how are you going to pray? Would you like to know how to pray? Would you like to have a pattern for prayer? Why not follow the pattern of Jacob sometimes? Jacob, in verse 9, contemplates the greatness of God. O God, the God of my father Abraham, the God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. It's all about the Lord. And when you start out in prayer, seek to have some contemplation of the greatness of God and of the goodness of the Lord. Oh, the devil will present no such picture of the Lord. The devil will present a hideous picture of the Lord. He may well present such a picture as to have you imagine the Lord will cast you off and cast you away. The devil paints a very dark picture of God. But remember, child of God, go over the scriptures. Pray the word of God into your heart and soul and have a great view of God. Ah, you're the God who said to me, return, and Lord, I have. You're the God who told me to come, and Lord, I have. Look again. Verse 10 is all about thanksgiving. And here Jacob comes, realizing he has much to thank the Lord for. And when you pray, don't burst forth with all your own petitions and anxieties. Why not start with the goodness of God? Start with a contemplation of the Lord. What the Lord has said to you. How the Lord has dealt with your own soul. How has the Lord been dealing with you? How has your heart been exercised this past week? Oh, I'm thankful to the Lord for all in this congregation who are born of faith and washed in the blood. But have you taken time with the Lord this past week? Has your own soul been exercised with the goodness of the Lord to you? Has your own soul been exercised with the greatness of the Lord? Has your own soul been exercised with the word, the promise that you have received from the Lord Himself? Try to get a word from God every day. Spend a little time every day with your Bible. Pray over the Scriptures. Seek the counsel of God there. Oh, don't miss that time alone with the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. And even now, already, there is much in the prayer of Jacob that we have not touched on. I don't know whether the Lord would have us continue with this prayer or not. Maybe we will. That's a matter in the Lord's hands.
Well, there's a great deal in the prayer we have not even looked at yet. You can learn from the Scriptures. You can learn from what God says in the Bible. You can learn from this prayer recorded in Genesis. Learn from the prayers of the patriarchs and the prophets. These men knew how to pray. Oh, listen. Listen, child of God. These men knew how to pray. They knew how to walk with God. They met the Lord. The angels of God met Jacob. We saw that. And Jacob saw them. He saw the hand of God in his life. Do you know more about prayer? Do you know about crying to God? Seek the Lord now. Why not memorize some portion of Scripture, even a line from the Word of God this week? You've got to start somewhere. Try and memorize a good gospel verse, a good teaching verse from the Scriptures this week. There's a purpose in memorizing the Scriptures. The devil does not want you to think about the Word or memorize the Word. Some of you who are older, maybe you're retired, well, you can memorize the Scriptures and then pray over the Word God has given you. Dear Lord, we thank Thee for today. We praise Thee for the joy of the Lord. We thank Thee for speaking to our souls. Shepherd us, Lord. Lead us. Grant that we may be fed and well nourished in the green pastures. Hear prayer and watch over us in all our ways. Bring us back tonight in Thy will with eager, yearning hearts, with praying hearts. O Lord, meet with us across the open page of Thy Word. Send us revival. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just remain in prayer these few seconds over the Word that God has written upon our hearts. Pray the Word into your own heart.